Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast, where we dive in and find out what people have done to get to where they are today and accept themselves. I'm Andy Vargo, your host, and today we have my very good friend Maria Aragon with Sound Nutrition and Body. Maria, how are you doing today?
Hi Andy, I'm doing well. Hey everyone, thanks for joining in.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you on. So Maria, in a couple minutes, I'm going to put you on the spot and say, what is that awkward thing that you've had to get over with and own in order to get to where you are today? But before we do that, why don't you just tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you have going on so they know where to find you?
Sure. Thanks, Andy. So my name is Maria Aragon, like Andy mentioned, and I'm a good friend of his and super honored to be here as I've been watching him climb, you know, all the things that he's been wanting to work on. It's just so inspiring to be, number one, on here today, so thank you, Andy, but also to be able to find my own voice. So by day, I work as a registered dietitian at a hospital. This was actually my 10th year, which is really exciting, and I would say that I'm working as a registered dietitian. When I first started, in school and in my college training, I thought I was going to be helping people, you know, really figure out their diet and figuring out their health conditions and how to eat healthfully with that. But as we as human beings are, I found that in the setting that I'm working in, I'm more so working on helping people find not just information about food, but looking at their relationship with food. And some new things I've been working on is actually starting to work and develop a private practice because there's a lot of fun things I get to do at the hospital, but I'm really inspired to kind of dive more into that relationship with food. I'm really interested in energy medicine and brain development, so I kind of get nerdy and I can't do all of that at work. So
right.
All of that exploration, I'm starting to work, like you mentioned, my private practice I'm going to be starting is Sound Nutrition and Body, and my whole idea is taking my experiences as a registered dietitian and translating some of that information, but mostly diving into the whole person-to-person relationship with food and how we think about our bodies and how that affects our society and our lives, like our inner lives. So that's kind of my passion right now.
It's interesting to hear you refer to it as a relationship with food, because I never thought about food other than just, you know, what can I take in? And I felt like I was this like rat that would just eat anything in sight. but until you start thinking like, why am I actually eating this? Or why are you in my life? It's like a toxic relationship sometimes. It's like, I need to put this in check.
Yeah. And one of the things that I like to mention up front, you can't really do that in a hospital setting, is that, I mean, I'm human too, and in going through all this training of how to look at numbers, how to look at the nutrition facts label, what actually is happening on a physiological level in your body, I was trained and have always been more of a left brain type of thinker of, you know, looking at the logical side of things. How does this work? How can we, you know, modify it to make it work for us? And our health and our body is not like that. So it's taking me, you know, a long time. I mean, I know it takes a lot of people a long time, but I guess I'll just say that where I am right now, it feels like a long journey that, you know, I've been battling myself in regards to what I think about my own body and about food and what my role is in the nutrition world. And I just feel really passionate to be able to kind of talk about my exploration. And I feel like that could be helpful for other people.
Oh, for sure. And so who would be the ideal person to reach out to you at Sound Nutrition and Body? Are there certain struggles, that parts of a food relationship, or certain things that they should reach out to you if they've had, you know, whether it's, you know, some people have to control diet for a disease such as diabetes, and sometimes it's because of weight loss or maybe not gaining enough weight. You know, I've seen people on both sides of the scale. So is there a particular type of person that's best suited for you to work with?
Sure. And I realize I'm just jumping in all excited, Andy. On my webpage,
No, go for it.
com, you'll see this year I'm just kind of like putting my feet into the, you know, working into private practice. And currently I'm going to be offering Reiki sessions, which is an energy healing. We can definitely talk about that. I know we're talking about nutrition now, so I wanted to say that this year I'm going to be offering an intuitive eating class, and this kind of goes into what we're talking about, relationship with food, and who and why would someone come to this class. I'm wanting to promote more non-diet approach classes. So anyone is welcome that wants to have a healthier relationship with food. And if you already mentioned, like, when you hear that word, there's this thing that comes to mind for you. And I guess what I want to invite people who might be considering, you know, this might be something to check out, is that all it is not like digging up everything about your beliefs and whatnot. And it's not about shaming yourself. With my background in stand-up comedy and just having a sense of humor, I like to look at things with humility and to be able to say, I'm a mindfulness meditation practice, a person who practices mindfulness meditation. So I would call it, you know, noticing all the things that affects our relationship and our choices with food. So if anyone wants a healthy relationship in that regards of being more mindful about what they're doing, alongside if they have diabetes or if they have high blood pressure, I won't be going totally into that specifically, but because of my knowledge with it, of course, I will discuss like how to incorporate the tools that we'll be using to try to be more mindful and healthy with our choices without putting restrictions and, you know, continue on a yo-yo diet cycle that a lot of folks have felt pressure to do, whether it be body image or also, I mean, some people have really, struggle with health conditions. And that's something that can be really hard, not just with the nutrition side, but just also managing that. And I feel like there aren't really a lot of places where you can kind of go and kind of talk about this as a whole versus just saying, I have diabetes and this is what I need to learn. So the idea is to kind of bring folks together, talking about the whole, our own personal relationship with food and also how it, like I said, is kind of on a global and a smaller perspective to kind of help us with our own goals that we've been working on.
Right. No, I think it's so important because it's one of those things that we just don't equip ourselves or our kids with as we raise them. And I think there's a lot more awareness now for hopefully the next generation. But, you know, for me growing up, food was about economics and how much can you feed a family with. And it was, and what lasted the most and tasted good. It wasn't necessarily about what is the healthiest food. And now I think there is more awareness, but as adults that were not raised that way, we've got to go back and do a lot of damage control on in bad relationships that we have in our lives, especially with food.
Yeah, I agree. And I think what's interesting too is, you know, with generations changing and the food environment changing and our ideas, you know, as a society about what food is and what that we have food, what is it called? We have access to food, you know, more ready access to food here. And options, like you said, when I was raised too, I mean, it wasn't totally thought out of we're going to work on our macronutrients and you need to eat, you know, I think there was the whole fruits and vegetables type of thing. But there wasn't a lot of dialogue about food. And it's interesting because when I was in school, not a lot of other college students knew what a dietitian was. They thought I was like going into Dianetics, like Scientology, when I said dietetics.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But actually, right. Elementary school kids, like now, they know who a dietitian is. They know what a nutritionist is. They could probably school me on, like, you know, creating a meal plan at their school.
Yeah.
It's really,
it's definitely been some progress.
Yeah. And I think in some ways, it's definitely a wonderful thing. But there's also the other side of the coin that it's not done. This knowledge is there. And there's still in our developed country, people who have disordered and eating disorders, eating disorders and disordered eating. And that's something that can be really subtle or really obvious. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to start this group too, is it's really easy to get into a support group and we're all very supportive of each other. And sometimes depending on our health conditions and our vulnerabilities, you know, mental and emotional health wise, some of those things can not necessarily be hurtful, but I guess in the long term and when you think about the longevity of your life, some of those habits can be really helpful and some of those habits might work for then, but not for always, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah. And I think sometimes too, the danger that I see in some of the support groups that I have been involved with is that sometimes we over coddle ourselves in the condition that we're trying to heal ourselves from. And instead of working through the condition to a place of healing, we end up creating excuses and more victim mentality of, you know, it's like we create a level of being acceptable to stay in the place that you're at rather than work through it to say, this is something we conquered together and look at this healthier place we're at. And I'm not saying that in a way to put down support groups. It's a very fine line. It's they're very needed in certain times for people, but there's also a point where you have to be so careful that you don't become, you know, kind of codependent and stuck in a certain place on that group in your healing journey.
Yeah. I always like saying that, you know, growth is not linear, that little graph with the arrow going up and down, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, and just the fact that, you know, like I said, there can be places that you stay and patterns that you keep and habits that you keep that are really helpful throughout your life, but it might modify and morph, you know, back and forth to depending on what situation is going on in your life. So I'm saying in that totally support of people going to support groups and finding their, you know, their areas, but it is really hard for yourself to know, or I guess I'll say that when you feel like there's something, you personally feel like there's something that needs to change, it's really kind of hard if you've been on that growth spectrum of like changing things and trying to find ways to be healthier and feeling good and then kind of hitting a wall. Sometimes that can be a hard thing to run into. And I guess I'll just say that growth and trying to get yourself back to that place of, okay, creating new habits and not just waiting for motivation to make things better for yourself or to find some more balance, I guess. Try not to use the good or bad, better or worse type of stuff. But
for myself, I've had those great days where it's Sunday and I'm going to get ready for the week and I go to the store and I load up with all healthy food and I'm really proud of anybody that sees what I lay out on the conveyor belt at the grocery store and, you know, it's all veggies and the whole rainbow and everything. And then eventually you run out of that food at home and it's like, oh, now I got to rebuy stuff or do I fall into an unhealthy habit or do I, you know, how somehow maintain it? And it's an interesting to me, the words that you used of an eating disorder versus disordered eating, which, like you said, can be subtle and you may not notice, but I feel like that's something I've, you know, run into probably both sides of where it's like, oh my gosh, I just, you know, it's like you almost need someone to follow you around all week long and be like, this is how you eat. This is what we're going to do. This is now it's time to buy more food, you know, just to, long enough to get those habits like off the ground.
For sure. Yeah. I think that I mean, I'm the same way. I'm a registered dietitian and I talk about these things of eating healthfully. And part of my biggest influences in nutrition and health. One is Ellen Satter. It's ELLYN. And she is, she is trained as a registered dietitian, but she talks about, she goes into relationship with food in regards to like families and children and also our individual selves. But a lot of what she talks about really resonates with me, as well as there is Health at Every Size. It's a nonprofit group of doctors and other health professionals who have seen that gap. And kind of like what I'm talking about is in the medical field, we have all these things that, you know, we're doing to promote health in a Western medicine I guess I'll say, style. And the whole health at every size is not stepping too far away from that, but it's really questioning, you know, what are the things that we're using to qualify as health? You know, is fat really bad? And how we'll use things like the BMI and how that could be useful and maybe not as useful, and kind of bringing in the research about that. So that whole idea of health at every size, and there's just a plentiful amount of research that we don't really use yet. Like, I think that there's a paradigm shift happening. But I really love reading about that. And like I said, Ellen Satter is another go-to person that talks about relationship with food, and that normal eating is also eating things like cookies and cakes, and that normal eating can be, you know, eating what's available, that the relationship with our food is not to be perfect every time and to eat every single nutrient that our body needs in one day, but to be able to step back and know that the part of the nourishment that we get from our foods is not just, you know, macronutrient. It's also almost a spiritual thing. I don't think she uses that word, but to me, I feel like that's kind of, you know, like our food is what we do when we hang out with our loved ones, and what we do when we show, like, you know, when we make a cake, that's not all just, I'm making this because it's very healthy for you, or it's not exactly what your body needs, but it actually might be everything that our body needs at that moment. So,
I mean, we use food food is something that we use to celebrate. We use it to, you know, soothe our feelings more than we should. It's always there. So it is more than just the science of the food itself.
Yeah.
So Maria, I've got to put you on the spot now. You're doing some awesome things in the world, and I appreciate what you were saying about the things I'm doing. It's been a pleasure to see you do that as well, and that's one of the greatest things about the group of friends that I have made, is that everybody's just doing such awesome things, and it's so cool to see them come together. But what is it you've had to do to own your awkward that you've had to either work through or get past that you want to share with everybody today?
Yeah, there's a lot of awkward. You might be able to hear the awkward thing I'm going to talk about right now. When you asked me to come on, I was thinking, man, there's a lot of things I probably could go into, but I'm going to be present with Andy that day and just talk with whatever is happening that day. And the thing that comes to mind is, I guess I'll describe it as my anxiety. You know, from being a young girl to now, I feel like I have always felt what I thought was just hyper. Where I have all the energy, I'm always going ahead of myself. And when I try to explain things to people, I feel like I know something that I can't put into words. So I feel like when we think of anxiety, we think of worry. And we think of hyper, we think, you know, someone that's totally out of control and just happy. And I would just say that my anxiety has a little bit of all of the above. And so that's something that I've struggled with, because physically I can actually feel when I'm very, you know, anxious and where I'm anticipating something. And I also can feel my body when I'm anxious and I'm scared or nervous. And sometimes it's hard to really discern where I'm at on that spectrum, because I feel all of that. And so I think part of my journey in becoming myself and facing my awkward is that it's absolutely okay to have anxiety, and to know and understand the ins and outs of how anxiety is, you know, how it's innate for us to have some of it, and how can we use practices to help us use that as, say, like a superpower versus thinking of it as a weakness. So that would be my awkward thing. And I think your other part of the question is to, like, how I kind of got through it.
Just even sharing it, let alone, I think it's amazing how you talk about anxiety the way that you do. I've never heard it described like that, because I think, like you touched on, there are certain words that come to mind when you think about anxiety, and so many people deal with it, and I think people deal with it on levels they don't even necessarily have identified as anxiety, but you know, for me, the words that come to mind are more like, you know, like worry, like you said, or hysteria, or panic and fear. And to hear you mention it as a fine line between hyper and like you're just, because you have those same senses in your body, whether you're excited about something or scared about something. And physiologically, you feel the same way. Like scientifically, that's just a fact. Your body feels that way. And so that's a new way for me to envision anxiety, where you might not know, am I excited right now or am I nervous about something? And then to be able to try to pay attention of where does the line cross, because it might start out as excitement and then get on overload. You know, it could be some of each.
Yeah.
So how do you feel,
exactly,
like for yourself? Do you feel like there was a place where, you're like, that's how I feel. So was there a place where you feel like you identified it and had a light bulb moment, or where it was affecting your life more and you had to make changes?
That's a good question. First, I wanted to say I'm laughing because as you were using those descriptors for awkward, or for not awkward, for anxiety, I was like, every time you said something, my body was like,
spiking the levels. like it's happening right now.
It's happening as you say each word. No.
Like, stop triggering me.
Well, that's funny, your trigger, right? With what's going on in the world today and kind of being sensitive or not. I feel like one of my favorite things about, you know, different in coming into my third decade of life and having more of an understanding of why people get fired up about politics, and me myself trying to slowly get more so involved and educated, is it's really easy to get into that anxiety, angry, triggered mode. And I feel like that's one of the best gifts of getting through my journey with anxiety, still going through it. But I mean, where I'm at right now, I can feel those reactions and also know that I can work with my tools that I have inside of myself. So it's not your fault that I felt triggered, but I'm just laughing about how sensitive I am sometimes, or whatever word that someone would use. I would say sensitive right now. So, but your question was,
Go ahead.
Oh, I think you were asking if there was like an aha moment or kind of like what got me to.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, since I was a kid, I feel like I've always felt that I felt my nervous system just always racing, even in the calmest environments. And when I felt, you know, logically, nothing's going on, like everything's fine. So we adapt, we're resilient, we just kind of go through life doing that. And I would say that it wasn't until I got into college, when I was finishing up my bachelor's degree, when the anxiety became so high that it wasn't something I could manage anymore. I think since I was 16 years old, I've gone to counselors, I've read a lot about, you know, like I said, emotional health, and there, just all the pressure of, you know, graduating and the excitement about it, I couldn't really tease out where all my emotions were and where my, I could barely get grounded on my own of, you know, I'm really good at like saying like, okay, this is really scary and this is where we're going. And I didn't really have a lot of that feeling of direction. So I guess with all those pressures, and then I got accepted to an internship, which was in another state, which was really exciting, but also is, you can only be so ready, I think. And compared to, I wasn't going to med school or anything like that, but it was really such a pressure to me because I was the first to kind of go away to a four-year university in my family. And then going out of state, and then also realizing, I don't know emotionally or mentally I'm ready for this next step. And that was kind of a hard thing
it's a lot at once.
To face. Yeah. So just that was kind of a trickle of – oh, go ahead.
No, I think about when we send kids off to college and stuff, and it's like, figure out your life and relocate and be away from your entire support system. It, there's a level of cruelty to that where it's just like, hopefully you are okay, you know, and that's hard. But I mean, I think there's a lot of good that comes out of, you know, changing your circumstances and stuff, but not necessarily for everybody.
Yeah, and I think it was hard to do it with grace. And, you know, we talk more a lot about what privilege means in our society. And I think without saying, I knew I was one of the first ones to go to college or to a four-year university in my whole family. And our family is very, I would say, tight-knit. So, like, even with aunts and uncles and cousins, I put this pressure that, you know, of course everyone wanted the best for me, but I put this pressure on, you know, that I have the privilege and I have the ability to go. And so that the pressure mm-hmm. and then knowing and not knowing when I was using that idea of privilege, like, was really kind of hard, because my grandpa, he grew up in the Philippines among, like, I think 12, 13 siblings on a farm, and he didn't go to school until he was 13 years old. And he wanted to go to school for a very long time, but, you know, working in the farm and the distance and, you know, having other siblings, like, there's not always money for that. And so whenever I thought about what I was doing, like, it's like a double-edged sword to know that. And to also be able to mm-hmm. take that with, like I said, some grace and know that circumstances are different and I have the support, but you can't always just ground yourself in that. When you had the level anxiety that I had.
Right. And sometimes we put way too much pressure on ourselves when you're comparing yourself to, you know, gee, grandpa would have loved this chance and this dream to go to school and all these things. And yet he had to work to keep the family, you know, fed and sheltered as a kid. And then to not put that on yourself when you grew up in a completely different time and circumstances would be so tough.
Yeah. So I think that was probably, like, churned into all of that pressure that I built up that year,
mm-hmm.
2008, 2009, I believe. Yeah. So
we're getting down to just a couple minutes here, but is...
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say
is there... yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
This is awkward. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just laughing.
No,
I didn't realize how much I'd be, like, gabbing this whole time, so sorry. But I was just going to say, as I talk about it, it's been a while since I've talked about that whole part of my life. And like I said, I'm still on the journey, but it makes my throat kind of tight just, like, thinking about it. But on the other hand, I'm feeling really relieved. It's really strange, but really cool.
Yeah. And it's interesting, I think, that as we go through that our own journeys, you have to realize progress. Like, oh, I wouldn't have been able to talk about this 6 months or a year ago, and now I can with some, you know, perspective or some victory that I have since then. But we are getting down to just a couple minutes, so is there a last advice or thought you want to leave with the audience about how you've gotten through it or where you're at and the light at the end of the tunnel, whatever you want to say?
Yeah, I guess I'll say, and this is kind of what I'm trying to put across in my mission with Sound Nutrition and Body, is that just like you're encouraging to own your awkward, is that all of these little things that, you know, we trip on, and I see myself as tripping on my anxiety, that all of it is so important to embrace. And not that we have to capitalize on that, but also knowing that these little pieces of our journey are things that are going to spin us into the next part of our journey. And with Sound Nutrition and Body, it's more, like I said, it's not just looking at nutrition. I'm really encouraging folks to be in their body. Because I think a lot of times we look at our body, we see things in the media, and we compare ourselves, and we don't often know how we really feel inside. And so that's one of the things I'm encouraging in my practice, as well as just a human being, that I want to encourage that part of my life has been what has helped me manage my anxiety, is finding different tools and ways to
take care of myself and be in my body and to enjoy my body and my mind, I guess I'll say.
That is so beautiful. And I don't want to cut you off, but we're going to run out of time here. But thank you so much, Maria. I really appreciate it.
Perfect.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Love you too, Maria. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.